business owner? Entrepreneur? Want to learn how online marketing can improve your business?
Your questions.
Our advice.
This is Not a Real Job.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 73 of Not a Real Job, the podcast that helps you turn the things you love into things that make you money. I am Chris Van Patten, and I work on websites in New York City.
And I'm Joel Kelly, and I work on, let's say, social media, search marketing, content marketing, et cetera, travel and tourism brands up in Nova Scotia, Canada.
So this week, we are going to talk New Year's resolutions and what we think are some of the essential things that you should do to get your project on the roll in 2015. But in the meanwhile, Joel, how's it going?
It's going okay, Chris. You know, back to work after Xmas with the in-laws, you know, definitely not sad to be back at work, but you know, there's always a bit of a, I guess the holidays are over kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but otherwise I'm fine. What about you?
I'm doing all right. Sort of in the same place, except that I did not go back to work today. I think we've talked a bit about this on the show, but I'm going on a sort of an extended hiatus from work until the end of January, just to kind of give myself time to work on my own projects and my own things, including this show. But anyway.
Yeah, what is it like being kind of, you know, unemployed, being, you know, a responsibility of the state, I guess.
Sure, a ward of the state.
Yeah.
So far, so good. I haven't really had time to sort of veg out and do nothing yet. I have been busy, you know, between travel, holiday obligations and that sort of thing. But I am looking forward to, hopefully, in the next few days here, getting some time to myself just to kind of sleep a lot.
Oh,
being,
man,
the main thing.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, one day I hope to sleep.
What are you drinking?
What do you drink? Oh, jinx. Now we can't talk until
the end of this show.
Hmm.
I'm drinking sherry. This is a Manzanilla from the Lustau Bodega, and it's very good. What about you?
I'd love to hear more about that. But first, yes, I am drinking Maker's Mark 46.
Classic.
Yeah, you know, dude, I'm all in on bourbons, I think.
Bourbon whiskey?
Bourbon whiskey. Yeah, I think 2015, while we're talking resolutions, is the year of bourbon for me, I think.
What would you say 2014 was?
All the things, and bourbon.
But this year,
what I've decided to do is, I think, here we go, sweeping statement. Resolution number one: I am exclusively drinking bourbon for at least a year.
Mm-hmm.
No water, no juice, no soy nog.
Nothing from the Soda Stream.
No, well, unless I carbonate bourbon.
Can you do that?
I will let you know.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. When we switch to full video, that'll be episode number one, is when I carbonate liquor.
I mean, is it possible?
We are switching to video, aren't we?
It's in the cards at some point. We'll be forced.
Everything
to.
Is possible in the Soda Stream. BuzzFeed had a video today about everything. Like they carbonated pickle juice.
So could you just buy wine and carbonate it yourself?
Yes.
And New Year's Eve, you're all set.
Correct.
Interesting.
Now, important caveat: it will void your Soda Stream warranty.
Okay.
There are, however...
Wait. The SodaStream warranty only permits you to stream, shall we say, certain types of liquid?
Specifically only water.
Why? That doesn't make any sense.
Here's what I'm betting.
Please.
If you put anything but water in it, there's a chance of it getting clogged and all gummed up. And I'm just going to put it out there that they're worried that a buildup of pressure from a CO2 canister is something they'd rather not have on them.
I think they're not very adventurous.
I agree. And honestly, they want you to be like, you know, like pause every second or so that you're streaming, because ice will accumulate. If your water is quite cold, as the CO2 comes out, ice accumulates. And they're probably worried about that. But that's kind of fun to see, little tendrils of ice extending down into live a little SodaStream, I guess is what we're saying.
It's basically like the cold miser.
Yeah, but there's...
That's a reference really, to a yeah, holiday thing. Yeah, you probably yeah. don't have that up there.
We don't have holidays up here, but... anyway, there are other... I think it's on the Wirecutter or maybe the Sweet Home. There's they link to another carbonator. They had to... It's no longer their preferred one because I guess the customer service sucked, but it was one where you could carbonate whatevs without worrying about... your warranty, your lifetime guarantee, as we call it up here in Canada.
Sure. So you could stream whatever liquids you wanted.
I don't think they called it a stream though, this other company.
I think maybe they should.
I just think that perhaps SodaStream has kind of a lock on the stream. Nothing's ever been streamed before Soda, I guess is what I'm saying.
Sure. So you're saying that if we're not careful, it's going to turn into a legal trademark situation. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's like saying
it'll become a verb like Kleenex is. You know, I'm going to go Kleenex my nose.
Right.
That's how we say that. That'll happen with, I'm going to go soda stream that. But what I'm really doing is just kind of blowing up a balloon.
Right. Right. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
It's a concern.
Yeah. I mean, so to the soda stream people, I know you listen. I hope that was helpful to you in terms of a brand deconstruction, I think is what we just did there.
I think it's a case study.
Case study. Yes. Let's get this written up into a white paper and we can put that up for download.
Free with email subscription.
Inbound marketing.
I think we did. I think we... Are we HubSpot?
You know, it seems...
Did we just HubSpot this?
Oh, now we're getting into other territory with other trademarks here. Mm-hmm. Is HubSpot the correct verb for inbound marketing?
Is this podcast a HubSpot?
Oh, God. Now we're getting existential. I don't know what to make of this.
Readers, let us know.
Let us know what you think.
Comment on the forum.
Yeah, go to the forum. We love the...
Call our 800 number.
We've got all of these things.
310-3030.
I don't know what that is. Must be Canadian.
Greco pizza.
Yeah, okay, sure.
It's a small pizza chain up here in Atlanta, Canada.
I'm confused why it's...
310-3030.
I was under the impression that pizza was Italian, and you're telling me that they call it Greek. I don't fully understand it.
Actually, interestingly enough, it's actually Canadian.
Interesting.
Yeah, look that up, baby. That'll...
That's some science for you there.
Is pizza Canadian? Let's see what we get on Google. We just get Canadian pizza chains. Pizza is... Seems that the internet and, let's say, facts disagree with me. A Canadian allegedly invented the Hawaiian pizza, though, which I think is the worst type of pizza.
I'm not... See, here's the problem with the Hawaiian pizza. Yeah. It has many...
It's terrible.
It has many components that, on their own, are delightful. But you put them together, and the whole is somehow... I don't understand it. Explain this, physicists. Is less than the sum of its parts. How does that work? I don't know.
We could never say.
Yeah.
That's where science hasn't got there yet. With the two things we don't know. Two things we don't know, Christopher. We don't know how life was originally formed. I believe we call it abiogenesis.
Correct.
And we don't know why ham and pineapple are horrible together.
But I hear... So the first one I think we can agree that is not going to get solved for a while. We're not going to know how life was formed. But I hear that they are creating a pizza ingredient accelerator deep underneath Europe right now that is going to focus on the second problem and see if we can figure out why Hawaiian pizza is so bad.
Will it figure out why Europeans are so lazy, though?
I don't think anything can figure that out.
Zing.
Boom.
Boom. All right. Let's crack into a couple topics here, because I don't think we let people know how important this episode is. Can you let them know how important this episode is?
This episode 73?
Correct.
Intensely important.
Bit of a milestone.
A huge milestone. It marks, I believe, our 73rd episode of the show.
Mm-hmm. 73 is also the 21st prime number.
Okay. Do you have any other information on 73 for us?
The reverse of 73 is 37, which is also a prime number.
Whoa. You just blew my mind.
73 is also the as I said, the 21st prime number, while 37 is the 12th prime number. And the number 21 includes factors both 7 and 3.
Explain that, Illuminati.
Can't do it. Can't be done.
Can't be done.
Can't be done. Have to go to the Masons to find that out.
Yeah, and actually, I think they'll even point you to the archives at the Vatican.
And who will point you then to the Nicolas Cage films?
Tom Hanks will.
National's treasure.
Why do we love those plurals so much?
I have no idea, but it makes me so happy.
We need to find out. Maybe we've got a grammatically inclined listener out there. Is there a technical term for these? Attorneys general, these exciting...
Motors boat.
Yeah, motors boat. Canadian's tire.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's because we're dummies. I think that might be it.
Well, I just want to know, is there a term that we can use and, ideally, incorrectly pluralize?
Yes. Okay.
So yeah. Please let us know, listeners. This is a
grammarians out there.
Deeply important. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we've got some New Year's resolutions here.
Yeah, we do. Are you the kind of person that makes a New Year's resolution?
Not especially. Although I will say that this year I've sort of thought over a couple of small things. I tried to keep them as small as I could, just mm-hmm. little things I wanted to improve.
Like my bourbon resolution.
Like your bourbon resolution.
Tiny, yes. Tiny changes every day.
Yeah, exactly. Although mine is completely revolving around sherry, mm-hmm. As one might expect.
And I'm also going to lose 100 pounds by March. I don't...
Sorry, something funny happened outside my window. It that wasn't directed at you, Joel.
No.
I would never.
You don't think I can do it.
It's not whether you can or can't. I think it's whether you will or won't.
Or will it.
Whether you will it to happen.
I will agree that perhaps my bourbon resolution is in somewhat conflict with my weight loss resolution, or it could come back around.
I guess what I'm saying is that if the veganness didn't do it, I don't know what you can do from here other than being one of those people who only eats fruit that has fallen off the tree of its own accord.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call those people? Is that the Jane?
Vegetarians.
That's different, but that's okay.
Pescatarian.
Also different, also not going to help. We'll figure that out on our dietary podcast.
Grammarians.
No, so I'm not really much of a New Year's resolution person, but other than your bourbon resolution, what about you?
Mm-hmm.
Are there other ways in which you could improve yourself?
I don't think so. I've said this before. If were I to ever lose weight, there's literally nothing else for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last step.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at that point, I don't, being this tantalizing, let's say I'm maybe 100, 125 pounds short of an ideal weight. That's not a long way to go to full self-actualization.
Sure. You don't want to get there too soon. You don't want to peak early in life.
This is what I'm saying.
Right.
I've got maybe 20, 25 good years left in me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I want to waste those years with no self-improvement projects.
Sure. So maybe this is something that you spread out over 25 years. So maybe you're losing 4 pounds a year for the next 25 years, and then in the end...
It's amazing how daunting even that goal sounds. I have to lose how much every year for the next 20 years? I don't think I can do it. I don't think I have it in me. I think at this point, what I really need to do is somehow just stop... You know, stem the flow here. We need to. If I could just stop gaining weight,
mm-hmm.
but I have no ideas. Nothing. No scientist could ever tell me what I could possibly do to stop gaining weight.
You know, Joel, I did see an advertisement the other day on the interwebs mm-hmm. for a diet pill that I thought looked very promising. I think it's interesting that they've decided to make a pill that helps you mm-hmm. diet. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, I think it's just I think it's just jelly beans.
Interesting.
Yep.
That's why everyone in Harry Potter is so thin, because they're consuming those jelly beans all the time.
Those beans that make you talk funny?
The beans of every color, I believe yep. they are.
I believe that's what they call them. Yeah, so I mean, but other than that, no, I'm not a resolution person, because I am so troublingly aware of my inability to make any real changes in my life. Mm-hmm. So I gave up attempting to resolve to do something a long, 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 long time ago. That said, here are my resolutions.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to be able to do a backflip by the end of the year from a standing position.
Okay. Now, does this factor into any maybe broader or larger parkour-related trends in your life?
No, it's just something I've always wanted to be able to do.
Okay.
Can you name a single person who can do a backflip?
Probably Jackie Chan.
Soon you'll be able to add me to that list.
Jackie what Chan more, and Joel Kelly.
What more could I ever want in life?
Than to be on a list with Jackie Chan. Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing. There is nothing more.
Who has ever acted in a film with Owen Wilson?
Is that another
That's resolution? Jackie Chan, too.
Well, I mean, I knew that. But now I'm wondering if you're trying to copy Jackie Chan.
I'm trying to become Jackie Chan.
I like it.
He's aging out of the game. I'm entering the prime of my life.
You are Neo Jackie Chan.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Anyway, but beyond the Jackie Chanification of my life, I don't think that I mean, most of my resolutions involve kind of not doing things. Like, I really want to take more time off. I want to sleep more, which is kind of like not doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like, you know, I've got vacation time at work, and I really want to stop being the type of person who dreads taking vacation, because, you know, it stresses me out to think of everything that's got to be done. And then, of course, there's the other side of it, the terrible part, the part that I really want to get out of my system, is that thought of, you know, it's a symptom of a syndrome. It's a symptom of imposter syndrome, that idea that if I'm away for a couple weeks and no one misses me, you know, does that mean I don't have value, or does that mean that everyone's going to think I was useless? You know, that kind of thing, which is a dangerous way to think. And but I think it sticks in my head, and it probably sticks in other people's heads, and it's a thing you gotta just shake off. But that's something I'm gonna try to work on too.
You have to shake it off,
shake it off.
That's
like a Polaroid picture.
Nope, not the song I was.
Yep.
Okay.
By Taylor 3000.
Indeed. So let's transition from that into our resolutions for our listeners.
So we're telling other people what to resolve?
Yeah.
Hmm. Can we do that?
I don't see why not.
I guess not.
So here they are. These are five little resolutions that Joel and I have cooked up that we think you should follow to help. Okay, maybe four. There are only four left now.
Well, I already did one.
You did one. Well, let's start with that one, because not only is this applicable to you, but to mm-hmm. all of our hardworking listeners out there. And it is the idea of taking time off, and especially the time that, you know,
you've accrued, you're owed, you know, even if you're self-employed, you have earned time off.
Yeah.
And we've talked on the show so many times about burnout. Like, it's just... it's a ridiculous game to play, the idea that, you know, difficult or impossible or exhausting schedules, that's not sustainable. And eventually, it's going to hit you. Wouldn't you rather have, you know, all that exhaustion hit you at a time where there's, you know, when you're not at the office freaking out? Maybe you should go away and take some time and you know, blow off some steam, and not just... play, like, you know, again, it's a really dangerous game to play with yourself, your business, your coworkers, that I can work forever and I can work at this level forever, because you can't, and it's going to hurt you or the people around you if you don't slow down.
And I think what takes this point from, you know, just saying to yourself, I'm going to plan a vacation in 2015 or whatever, and what takes it from that and makes it into a resolution is the idea that, you know, instead of just sort of resolving, I'm going to take more time off, I think you also need to spend more time thinking, how can I make myself more comfortable with taking time off? And
yeah,
that might
mean,
you know, if you're someone like Joel who manages a team, figuring out ways to delegate more responsibility or set protocols to make sure that things are being reported correctly while you're away and you know, and that things are able to continue flowing. You know, if you're a small business owner or someone like myself dealing with clients, that might mean improving the way that you communicate with clients. So making sure that you're not necessarily responding to emails on the weekend, because you don't want to set that precedent and then go away for the weekend and get all these angry emails and why aren't you responding to me, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So setting the tone of your communications to allow yourself some time away. And even if you are, you know, if you are in a corporate job, making sure that you're not picking up the BlackBerry on the weekends and answering emails and things like that, unless you absolutely have to. I think, you know, what takes this into resolution territory is all those other little things and figuring out ways that you can make it okay to take those breaks, you know, whether that's in your business or in your traditional job.
I think that's a great point about, you know, putting systems in place where it makes you more comfortable. I think, you know, I'm thinking about this, you know, I want to go on, you know, a big vacation. We kind of postponed our honeymoon until the spring, even though we got married in the fall. So we want to go on, we're planning a big trip. But I know I'm going to be checking my phone at least at some points. I know there's going to be, you know, an uncontrollable urge to at least check in. But, you know, transitioning my team to kind of filling out their 15-5s, their weekly status reports that are simple and, you know, and easy to do, that means maybe all I have to do to make myself feel better, again, it's not that I don't think my team's got everything under control, it's really just to make myself feel better. Maybe all I'll need to do is quickly skim, you know, some 15-5 reports. And then I can feel better about being away. I think that's a good point of like trying to figure out what system you can put in place to make it, you know, to make the transition into vacation as easy as possible.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to look at, you know, here, as especially for those of us in the northern hemisphere where it is cold and windy and snowy and rainy and everything, to sort of say, well, next year I'm going to take a vacation or I'm going to use all my vacation days. But it's not that easy. And you sort of, I think the best opportunity to make this a long-term part of your life is setting up those systems. So that's our first point. So this one comes from me, and I want to encourage you to devote 2 hours every week to your side project, at least 2 hours. So if you are a full-time business owner like myself, you know, maybe those 2 hours aren't necessarily going to a side project, but are actually thinking about the business. So I think for somebody who's in my position, where you are self-employed, I think you should actually build these 2 hours into your week as part of your work week. I think it's super important to set aside that time. You know, if you're dealing with clients or customers all the time, it's really easy to lose track of all that time, which is fine, except that it keeps you from moving forward. It sort of keeps you in the trenches rather than on the back line thinking about strategy and that kind of thing. So if you are self-employed or have the luxury of spare time during your days, build that time right into your schedule to think about big picture stuff. If you are somebody who is employed in a traditional job, you know, even if it's only a half hour a couple nights a week, maybe it's an hour on Saturday, an hour on Sunday, I think setting aside that time to work on your side hustle and commit to working on it is really valuable and a good way to make sure that you're getting things done.
Cool. Yeah, I think the challenge for that is really, you know, if you've got your straight job, that's frankly who has a 9-to-5 anymore. You know, if you've got your 8-to-6, your 7-to-7 job, whatever, you know, people are working these days, it's really hard to kind of carve out time for a side project, and it's definitely hard to do it, you know, and in some cases probably would break some contracts to work on that while you're, you know, at your office or in your other job. But I do think it is still important. You know, if you're all dissatisfied or think you could be happier with whatever you're doing career-wise, but you're not carving out time, you know, for a side hustle or, you know, a side project, then you're doing the wrong thing. You're never going to get to where you want to be if you don't carve out the time to make it happen. So
yeah, and I would really stress with this, you know, make sure that you're building this time into your weekly routine so it becomes routine. I think if you just say, well, I've got this specific thing I need to work on Saturday, and then you do it, and then next week you're like, well, I did that thing, I don't need to work this week. I don't think that's productive, because it keeps you from building that habit that's going to keep you coming back to your projects.
And I think there's definitely going to be some people thinking, well, you know, it's easy for us to say, you know, neither of us have kids. We're you know, our lives are a little less filled with non-work stuff than you know, someone with a family or with children or with other responsibilities. But I think, I mean, it's a matter of priority. Then if you're happy and satisfied in your life, then this advice isn't for you. But if you've got some career dissatisfaction, then, you know, then even with, you know, everything else you've got going in your life, it's not going to get better unless you make it better. So, you know, yeah, making it part of your priority, figuring out what it is, you know, that you're not happy with. And again, it's not just have a side project because you hate your, you know, your corporate drone job, but, you know, finding something that's uniquely yours and something that gives you, you know, personal fulfillment and satisfaction is still worth doing.
Perfect. I love it. Cool. All right, so number three here. Stop caring about vanity metrics. This is something that we have preached constantly on this show.
A vanity metric is your hot or not score, correct?
Yeah. Well, that one I would care about. That one I think is very important. No, we're actually referring to things like your follower count on social media, the number of, likes is a tricky one because that can have some value, but in general, the things that don't directly relate in some way to your bottom line, things that don't directly impact how much money your company makes or get people into the funnel so you can get money from them.
But Christopher, I'm on social media. What could I possibly be measuring if not how many likes I have?
I think you should answer that question, Mr. Professional Travel and Tourism Social Media.
I don't know the answer. No.
The truth comes out.
Yeah, exactly. I was banking everything on you finally telling me. As someone who spends, you know, really much of my day focusing on social media, I completely agree. Vanity metrics are a waste of time. If they make you feel better, then sure, but that just means they're definitely a vanity metric if you're doing it just to make yourself feel better. Focus on things that, like you said, affect the bottom line, or at least in some way affect a business goal. And if your business has the goal of more Twitter followers than we have, I have some deeply, deeply serious concerns about your business then. Your business's things grow customers, grow customer value, grow average customer spending, you know, make more revenue, increase our margins, make more profit. You have actual business goals, and none of them should be get more likes. Now, can you be using your Facebook page, your Twitter page, your Pinterest page to be driving traffic to a website where people can learn about your business and then become customers? Can you be driving people direct to a place where they can make a purchase? Can you be building email lists based on your social media so that you can market? Can you use your Google Analytics, learn how to use it, and figure out how you can do attribution modeling to find out if someone comes to your website from social media, does that make them more likely to convert, or does it make them a more valuable customer? These are all things you should be focused on, not how many likes you have, and if that's what you're paying attention to, then you're doing it wrong. And if your social media person, either your social media manager internally, or, you know, the social media so-called expert you're paying for this, or the agency, isn't telling you this, then you need to have some serious concerns about their credentials as well. If a good social media person is a good marketer, full stop, the technology doesn't matter. Can you market? Can you write? Can you persuade people to make a purchase? If not, then it's a waste of time and money for everyone.
And also check their Twitter bio, because if they have guru or rock star anywhere,
or ninja,
oh, I'm a little partial to ninja. I like ninja.
No.
There's point number three. Point number four: sign up for Fancy Hands or find your own VA. Joel and I have talked extensively on the show about how we're huge fans of outsourcing. In fact, we talked about this last week in episode 72. We are just huge fans of finding ways to delegate your tasks. And this is a really great way, you know, if you are somebody who has only 2 hours a week or less than 2 hours a week to work on your project, you know what? Maybe you should use that time to figure out a way to delegate tasks. So you can have somebody being productive while you're at work or dealing with your family or out with friends or whatever that is.
Yeah, I mean, this is, yeah, like you said, we talk about it all the time. But it's so important. And again, maybe this goes back to, remember how you were complaining, not you, Chris, but the audience was complaining that we were telling them they needed to carve out time for their side project, but they don't have any time? Remember when they were complaining about that?
I do.
It happened very recently. Delegating. Spending a few dollars to get someone to do the stuff that anyone else could be. If you find yourself doing something that literally anyone else could do, pay someone else to do it.
Yeah.
Ideally, you should be spending the vast majority of your time on things that only you are qualified or have the experience or the motivation or the, you know, the drive to do. Everything else, ideally, you should be either delegating or have a plan to delegate. And that's for everyone. That's for low-level employees, too. If you're at the bottom of the heap and being delegated to, you should be thinking about ways to systemize things, to automate things. If someone is passing down to you a really crappy task, you know, something that's just grunt work, data entry stuff, to make yourself a more valuable employee, start thinking about, wait a second, does this even need to be done? Is there a way, could I go to my boss or my manager or whoever's getting me to do this task with a better answer? Always be thinking of ways to reduce the workload of stuff that anyone could do, because if anyone could do it, it probably isn't that important anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so our final point, have realistic goals and plans to achieve them.
Yeah, I mean, that's one that I put in there. I think I get frustrated when people just either complain about where they're at in their career or complain about anything, and then you ask, like, so what's your plan? And they, so often there's nothing other than just hope some rich benefactor will, you know, pay you to sit on your butt all day. Or, you know, one day my boss is going to smarten up and suddenly give me the money I deserve. Like, that's not how life works. If you have a realistic goal and don't set it for 6 months out, if you can, not even a year, but where in, like, give yourself, in 5 years, I want to make X amount of money and be working at this type of job, is not a bad goal. You're not going to hit that specifically because, you know, there's things change, but at least have something that every day you can say, okay, I made a little bit of progress. It's either these ridiculous goals, like my goal for the year is to, you know, make X amount more money. Like, no, that's not enough time to have that. But if your goal in 5 years is to make, you know, 30-40% more than you do now, and you want to be a senior manager instead of a manager, at least that's something that every day you can think about what you can do to get closer to it. So set a goal that's not unattainable, but give yourself some time and give yourself, you know, and make a plan to actually make some sort of actionable step towards it every single day. Or the days will blur together, and in 5 years it'll be exactly where you are right now.
Which is no fun for anyone.
No, I'm in a ranty mood today.
I think it's good. I think our listeners needed a little bit of tough love.
Well, I mean, they've been sitting on their butts all week
doing the Christmas things.
Gosh knows what.
Gosh knows. I don't know. Anyway, right, that's our stupid show.
I thought it was a good one.
I did too, actually.
Best episode yet, they're calling it.
It's a great way to end the year.
The people talking to us in the chat rooms as we broadcast this live.
Yeah, they all seem to have very good feedback. So thanks for everyone who watched the episode live. We really appreciate it. It's been a really great year for the podcast. We are now squarely going into our third year doing the show. That is our third calendar year, not necessarily, you know, 3 years of recording.
Because that's not, the math doesn't check out with that one.
No. I'm just, you know, 2013, 2014, and soon 2015. Anyway, we really do appreciate all you out there who are listening to the show. And we do have some plans coming up for 2015 that I think will make it the best year for the show yet, including that long-promised, long-awaited new website. So,
and full video every episode.
Full motion video. You can see us in our the way God intended.
Well, we'll be paying actors to portray us.
And that is the way that God intended. He intended me to look like George Clooney. Mm-hmm. Missed the mark a little bit, but we're going to get Clooney in here to fulfill that part. So I'm excited about
exactly.
that.
And he intended me...
Paul Giamatti.
To look like Paul Giamatti. Exactly. And he pretty much nailed it. A little too tall, but otherwise...
Otherwise spot on.
Got it in one.
Oh, boy. Anyway, as we do every week on the show, we share our Amazon.com purchase picks. These are things that we have bought recently that we love and we think you'll love as well. And you can go to Amazon, or actually go to our site, click on the link in our show notes or at notarealjob.com/gear, and you can buy that stuff, and it gives us a little bit of a cut so we can make the show even better. What are you putting in this week?
I am putting in, I got a lot of books for Xmas, and one that I'm especially excited for is The Sense of Style, The Thinking Person's Guide to Writing in the 21st Century by Steven Pinker. So people are saying, is this the replacement for Strunk and White? Of course not, because that book was small, this one is big, and not near as portable. So
there is no replacement for Strunk and White.
Correct, and not only because it's good, but also because it was a very small book, and you could keep it in your pocket or in your backpack. This book, not as portable, so it's never going to be the hit that Strunk and White was. But I'm still excited to crack into it, because on the cover they've underlined 21st century. So I'm guessing that means big changes in English.
But that means it's pretty relevant right now.
Pretty relevant. So anyway, yeah, check that out if you're into writing and words and style and Christmas.
The joy of the season. Excellent. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put in the Leviton T5632, which is a 15-amp USB charger duplex receptacle. Now, what does that mean, you ask? Those are some fancy
words. I have no idea what that means.
That means it is simply a wall outlet that has two USB plug ports on it as well. So you can replace the outlet that you normally plug your electronics into with this one, and it gives you not only your two, you know, conventional ports or conventional power sockets, but it also gives you two USB ports as well, so you can plug in up to four things at once, which is pretty cool. Got this for my parents for Christmas. We installed it. It works as it promised it would, and I really enjoy it, and I think it's super awesome.
Now, explain the installation process.
It was very easy. We took out the old duplex receptacle. Mm-hmm. We unwired it. There are four little wires, and on ours anyway, these wires had little hooks on them. So all we had to do was take out those hooks, hook them into the new one, screw it down, and we were all good. Very easy.
Did anyone electrocute themselves home alone style?
No. You should, of course, turn off your power before popping this baby in. But no power tools required. Very easy. Just a screw gun. And yeah, I didn't think it would work so well. I thought, you know, maybe it would be sucking up too much power. Maybe things would charge slower. But as far as I can tell, it works really well. So definitely check that out. It's really cool. I'll have the link, of course.
Neat,
indeed. Notarealjob.com/gear or notarealjob.com/episode-73. And with that out of the way, thank you again for listening. Please rate us on iTunes, notarealjob.com/iTunes. If you didn't send us a Christmas present, this is a really great way to reward us for all that we do for you. And also, another great way is to submit a question. We love having questions on the show, notarealjob.com/questions. We're also on Stitcher if you're into that kind of thing. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/notarealjob, youtube.com/nargecast. That's a great way to share the show with friends. And we're on Twitter as well, twitter.com/nargecast, twitter.com/JoelKelly and Chris Van Patten. And all those links are on the site, notarealjob.com.
Here's something. I do want to say this, though. If you did mail, let's say, the show some Christmas gifts, and somehow you found out my personal home address and mailed it, and you're upset that we didn't discuss it, I do have two slips from the post office that says things have been delivered, that I have to go pick them up. So it's possible. I'm not going to say it's probable, Chris. It's possible someone has mailed us a Christmas gift.
That would be cool.
And I just haven't checked it yet. So, not probable. But if you're super upset that we haven't mentioned it on the show, I just want to let you know that it's
because
still
Joel's
the post office, and I... I'm waiting for you to take it back.
The sherry has gotten to me very quickly.
It always does, Chris. And with that, we'll see you next year.
Wow. See you next year, everyone. Thanks for listening.
At notarealjob.co.uk.
Dot baseball bat.
All right.
New domains. New
Chris
domains.
Is done. Yay. TLDs. All right. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Bye forever.